This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Kevin Berhaney joins us this morning. You can hear him every Monday night at 5 o'clock with Soy City Buzz on First Mid Mondays. Thanks for the invitation Friday to golf. My Fridays are I don't even know why we planned it this way. It was just sort of organic. But I have a very busy Friday with lots of video conference calls throughout all of our markets. I was not able to attend. I hope you guys had fun.
That sounds like something a boss would do. Let's plan our meetings on Friday afternoon so you can't sneak out and play golf.
You know, not a lot of thought. I don't think a lot of thought was put into that at the time. It was March of last year, and if you remember March of last year, the world was sort of upside down and on its head, and I don't think anybody was thinking about that kind of thing. My bad. I hope you guys had fun. I hope you said hello to Paul and to Michael, and you guys had a great Friday.
Yeah, we did. It was just one of those days you saw coming up. You didn't want to let it get away without enjoying it. So that's what we did. And, it was a great weekend. How was yours?
My weekend was pretty good. Lindsay been out of town traveling for some training, and she got back Saturday night, and we had a pretty good weekend. Not too bad. It's amazing to me, and I think it's a positive sign, just how quickly time is moving by right now.
Oh, it is. We got all this daylight, too, which is, it just does something for your attitude. Hey, on Friday morning, I did something that was probably the best way to finish off a week. Last week I told you we were having Amy Bleefnik on our radio show last Monday to promote the grand opening and the celebration of Meaningful Meadows. Meaningful Meadows is a vision that she had a couple of years ago. Is to turn a field next to Macon Resources into a multiple-use park for their special needs clients, of their kids and their adults. And they opened it up, and they had a beautiful ceremony and honored Kathy Comerford on Friday morning. And Brian, it just moved you to see the vision unfold. I think it's like 3 acres of area where these special need folks can go and swing, they can play basketball, got a xylophone station, have a barbecue station, they have a quiet area. It is just beautifully designed and greenscaped to think that was just an empty field and is now such a meaningful meadow for a really important function for the parents and clients of Macon Resources. Very impressive, and congratulations to Amy and her staff.
Yeah, I saw the story on Nauticator.com, and I saw a lot of pictures on social media. It looked like it was a wonderful event, and what an honor for the Comerford family, huh?
Yeah, well, there's a family that deserves to be honored. The Noonans and the Comerfords, they're related. They are just, what they've done for Special Olympics in this community, they're unsung heroes. Amy was always a part of that with the Beck family, and they continue to do it. And Jim and Mary Comerford told me that if it wasn't for Macon Resources, their Kathy would not have had the quality of life that she experienced while here on Earth.
You go back in the day, all the way back, Kev, probably sometime around the first time you landed in Decatur right out of college, that would have been Daryl Beck and Jerry Minns that started a lot of those programmings and Special Olympics here in Decatur.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You knew Jerry better than I did. I knew him with regards to the Decatur Park Singers. He was also instrumental in building that into something huge for a long time. But I knew Daryl Beck very well. He and Frank Tyrell were two of my mentors, along with Jim Hubbard. And I was very fortunate to have those three guys as mentors to me, because they were community leaders. They really believed in giving back to this community, not just in writing checks, but in leading things and getting involved in developing ideas into actual realities. And Daryl Beck was a champion of one right after the other. He got it. He understood that if you made money in a community, you owed something back.
Yeah, pretty amazing stuff. I don't know if you got a chance to watch the first part of the story of Late Night last night. It's a new docuseries on CNN, from Steve Allen all the way up to today and everything in between. It's wonderfully done, and it reminded me sort of the old days, the old school ways. I don't know. If you haven't had a chance to watch it yet, you and Sue will really like it.
No, I really want to watch it. I read The Late Night Wars that was written about the changing of the guard from The Tonight Show to Jay Leno instead of David Letterman, and how Letterman thought he was a failure and was depressed and was ready to fold his tent when his agent came along and said, CBS is going to offer you double what you would have gotten or something like that at The Tonight Show and have your own theater. And he became a much bigger star than he ever dreamed he could be. It was really interesting. But all the backstabbing that went on back then over Johnny Carson's job. And Carson wasn't happy about not being told about who was going to get his job. So he quit early and really threw a wrench in the works.
Yeah, the whole thing was full of drama. But one of the interesting things last night was, Steve Allen. You're familiar with Steve Allen. If you grew up of a certain age, you probably didn't watch maybe him doing Late Night, but you remember him being on talk shows and being a thing. And it is amazing to me the stuff that he literally created, because no one had done it before. And the way it translated into stuff that Carson did, later into stuff that Letterman did, that seemed so groundbreaking when they were doing it. It had already been done with Steve Allen. Doesn't get nearly his due when it comes to the history of late night TV, but it's worth your watch. It's the first episode was last night. It'll be on Sunday nights for the next several weeks. Very good stuff. All right, talk to me a little bit about Soy City Buzz. What's coming up tonight at 5?
Well, I kind of got a special show tonight. We're going to do three co-hosts because Joe Dively, the CEO of First Mid Bank and Trust, is going to come in and join us. First Mid Bank and First Mid Insurance has been sponsoring that show ever since they bought Soy Capital Bank. And Joe's really enjoyed this radio show and thinks it's really good for the community. So he's going to come in for an hour. They bought a large bank, Providence Bank in Missouri, and they've expanded their footprint deep into Missouri now. And under Joe's leadership, First Mid Bank and Trust is really, really growing. This little town of Mattoon is housing one of the most successful bank franchises in all of Illinois and now Missouri. So he'll be in all hour, and he's going to help us with our interviews after we get done interviewing him with Fred Lostifer and Kevin Martin. Did you know that the Knights of Columbus is celebrating something like 120 years of existence here in Decatur? And talk about Daryl Beck. He's one of the major builders of the Knights of Columbus. So they're going to talk about their celebration. And after that, I've invited Sheriff Tony Brown on to get a feel for how things are going in being a police officer these days. It's got to be tough when you're the sheriff or a chief of police to motivate your troops to keep their attitudes high and to recruit new young people to want to be a cop these days. So we'll be talking to him as well, Brian.
Absolutely. And I don't know if you've had a chance yet to meet Dr. Juanita Morris, who's heading up the Jerry Dawson Public Service Institute, that Howard funded with District 61.
Yes.
She's got some great summer programs coming up for kids with law enforcement that will be really, really interesting. I want to go back to the Knights of Columbus conversation, though. You have, what is the full uniform called? Like you see in a parade and you see the Knights of Columbus out there that are of a certain rank or certain degree. Do you have one of those full uniforms?
I do. I think it's called a regalia. When you're a fourth degree, there are different degrees of members. And I'm a fourth degree, and I have been for years because my father was a fourth degree, and he encouraged me to do it. And lo and behold, when he passed away, out of six boys, I was the one that got his diamond fourth degree pin, which is very meaningful to me now these days. And so, but that's not the reason why I joined it, but it was an incentive. The fourth degree are all the Knights of Columbus do service projects throughout the community, mainly to promote Christian causes. They do a lot to help the churches, the priests in town. They do a lot to help scholarship, kids at St. Teresa, things like that. But that fourth degree is also an honor guard. So when a Knights of Columbus member passes, the fourth degree stands at either side of the casket with the regalia on. It is a sword, a big old, I don't know, call it a fedora. I don't know what kind of hat it is. But
okay. I've never seen you in this uniform.
No, I'm not, you know. You know how humble I am. I wouldn't want to walk around with a uniform on like that. No, I'm just kidding. I did it for a while, but there's plenty of, I used to say older gentlemen that have more time to do those kind of things. But I now realize I'm getting to be one of those older gentlemen.
All right. It's on my bucket list. I want to see you in full regalia, you know, before we retire and get away somewhere. I want to see that in a big parade setting with Brahaney and the whole do. I think that would be worth seeing. All right.
Oh,
so,
I do it for you, Brian.
All right. Well, I think the whole community would love to see it. All right. So we've got a lot coming up. You know, we're just a little away. I see things on the list like the Chamber Business Expo. I see things that are coming back. Let's take a few minutes to talk about being, you know, on the 10-yard line or the 5-yard line. Although numbers in Macon County are not great, we won't see the weekend until later today. But last week we were ticking up. And I think part of that is just sort of people getting out there frustrated with being, you know, locked in and not being able to have a life, yet we're up against a whole bunch of people who aren't getting vaccinated. You know, which vaccine did you get?
The Moderna, the 2-shot. I went over to the crossing and had it done, and it was a seamless process.
Wasn't it just completely, I mean, I was blown away with how organized it was. I mean, I got the Moderna 2, the same shot, and I went in, and Lindsay and I went together. We made an appointment online the day of. That's why I know you can get appointments. It's not like it was early on where you had a whole lot of people looking to get it and not a lot of vaccines. We've got the vaccines. But we went in, you fill out a really quick sheet, you hand that clipboard over to a lady. She sends you right over to get the shot. You sit there for 15 minutes and you wait, make sure there's no allergic reaction or anything like that. And then by the time I got to my car, I already had an email, a reminder of, you know, my next shot, which was coming up like 21 or 28 days later. And then when I went back for my second experience, the exact same thing. I feel very fortunate. I didn't have any side effects at all other than a little bit of a sore arm, you know, for about 24, 48 hours. That was about it. But did you have anything?
Yeah, but I was one of those ones that had the COVID. And so if you have COVID, they say there's a higher percentage of a chance you'll have a reaction. It was just one day. It was worth it to have that security of knowing you got the vaccine. And I was prepared not to feel that good. I could function. I did half a day of work each day, but in the morning I laid low just to kind of get some of it out of my system. But it wasn't bad at all. It wasn't nothing that would ever kept me away from doing it again. I encourage everyone to do it. And I'm so happy that, you know, we talked back in December when the vaccine was coming out that we're hoping by end of April we would see some semblance of normalness again. And I think we are. I know we're not there, and I know we got to keep our guard up because of the other strains that are out there, variances, I guess. But, boy, oh, boy, Brian, it is good to see people again. It's good to be able to go to a restaurant, and it's good to function, say, like you say, you know, a high percentage of the way it was and still be conscious of, you know, this could flare back up if we're not careful. So I wear my mask where I'm supposed to wear it. I take it off when I don't have to wear it. And life is so much better. And you know what you couldn't do before. And so you appreciate so much more now what we have.
I completely agree. And I hope that those pockets out there of folks that are concerned in whatever reason, I'm sure you talk to people every day. You talk to a lot of people. You've talked to people who are hesitant about this or have one reason or another why they're not getting a vaccine or still thinking about it.
Yeah. The funny thing is they're younger. They're not older. Most of the older folks that people my age and a little bit younger, they went right in to get that vaccine. I don't know if it's just because they're wiser and they know things can happen over their life. They saw things happen. I know when I was young, I thought I was invincible. I found out as I grew older that Murphy's Law does exist. And if it can't happen, it will happen. So I think some of these younger people that think they're a little more invincible than everybody else need to take this a little more seriously to protect themselves than maybe they are.
Let's hope so. Kevin, we'll see you tonight at 5 o'clock. Good to hear your voice, my friend. Thanks again for the invite on Friday. Really, really appreciate it.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.